Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And we are back to this Monday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim and for Ed today, along with Dr. Ray Prichard of Keep Believing Ministries and Steve, I didn't say Paisley, Jordahl.
You didn't. I'm even wearing Paisley today.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Steve. That has to be noted every time.
I'm a little disappointed in you, Fred.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, we were talking about the business of the travel at this time of the year. And our story just on our newscast there was talking about the military reducing its flights to open up more flights for commercial aircraft over the next few days. It's kind of interesting, guys. I have an app on my phone, Flight Aware, and I'm just looking at it. And if you want, it may scare you about flying. If you want to look at the number of airplanes in the air right now, right this moment, over the United States, particularly along the East Coast, it is scary. Represented by little white marks, and they are everywhere. It is absolutely amazing. The number of airplanes. Kudos to air traffic control and air traffic controllers. I don't know. I know a lot of it is computer run now, but if you ever just tune in at a busy airport to these air traffic controllers and how they keep everything separated in the air and on the ground and airplanes taking off and airplanes approaching, no wonder, Ray, a lot of these guys retire early.
Look, you're talking about a high-pressure job.
Oh.
Being an air traffic controller, you've got planes coming in, planes taking off, and you've got the unbelievable crowds, and you've got weather, right?
Yes.
Here we are, late fall, winter just around the corner, so kudos to them. And friends, if you're going to fly this week, go early, right? Go early to the airport, because you're probably going to have to wait a while.
Yeah, that is for sure. All right, Steve, what you got going for us at the start of this half hour?
That's some very interesting stuff going on in China and elsewhere around the world. We've talked a little bit on the show about, Ray, do you remember we're talking about 15-minute cities?
Right.
Mm-hmm. These were places where they engineer everything to be within 15 minutes, your schools, your churches, your shopping centers, your housing, your government, everything. You don't have to leave the confines of the city for 15 minutes, which might sound convenient, except in a lot of places they're putting fences around these and not letting you out except for a couple times every year.
Mm.
One of these is in China. China is constructing what's called the largest construction project in the world. And it is 200 square miles, larger than New York City, of buildings. It's called Shangan City. It's it's going to be the 15-minute city in China. It's about 60 miles outside of Beijing. They plan to relocate 4 million people from Beijing to Shangan. And they're going to ask them if they want to go. And if not enough people want to go, they're going to force them to go. Every lamppost in the city will be equipped with facial recognition cameras. Every entrance and exit will have checkpoints placed on them.
Ray, in my mind, that's not a city. That's a compound.
Right. That sounds like a concentration camp or a prison camp.
Exactly.
You're going to have to check in and check out. So who in their right mind is going to want to do this voluntarily, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't get this.
I have a feeling that those who volunteer to go will get the better housing.
Yeah. But Ray, we have heard this as part of the global climate change agenda. In order to cut back on the use of fossil fuels, they're going to have restrictions on and these 15-minute cities. And it's not just China. It's being talked about in other places that you confine people to only travel a little bit and only travel. You're given a quota almost.
Could you imagine on Wednesday going to O'Hare or Atlanta?
Yeah.
Or DFW, mm-hmm. and they say, we're not going to let you fly because you've overused your, quote, carbon footprint. So go back home.
Yeah. And they will say, I've heard reports, and I think this was out of England, where there won't be a need for you to have a vehicle because any kind of public transportation will provide a bus for you to get from point A to point B. Like I say, I mean, this is, I believe, the ultimate goal of some of these radical climate change people is get rid of fossil fuels, you know, under the guise, their big umbrella, we're going to save the planet, but we're going to confine you. I mean, they're talking, it's not just travel. They're talking about the kind of foods that we eat. There's more and more development of non-meat food, so we can get rid of those nasty cows and some of the air that they expel, all of these sorts of things. And, you know, we sit back and we say, you know, these are crazy people.
Right.
But some of these crazy people are being voted into office.
You know, sometimes we throw around the word Orwellian, and it doesn't really fit. This is a time when it fits perfectly. This is an Orwellian idea to create a city with checkpoints and with the, what you said, the cameras, right?
Yes.
The cameras.
Facial recognition.
Basically, move to that city and lose all personal freedom whatsoever.
Well, they're not that free in Beijing currently, so it's not maybe a big change for them. You know what's interesting, Ed? Did you guys remember this? What they're doing in Saudi Arabia, too? There's a city they're building called The Line. It's about 220 yards wide. It's taller than the Empire State Building, and it's a single building that runs 105 miles long.
What?
One single building, mirrored on both sides, that if you're in front of a computer, Ray, look up The Line City, and you'll see pictures of it. It is going to be, everything is going to be, again, within walking distance. There's no cars.
Mm.
They'll have a train that can take you from one end 110 miles to the other end in 20 minutes, they say. But this is the new living in the desert. It's the same thing, except it's vertical.
Yeah, and I have to wonder, has these things become reality, these climate change people who are, you know, all in on this idea, nobody's going to tell me what to do,
right,
all that sort of thing. They're going to find out the hard way. Anyway, it's happening in some countries. It's being talked about. But don't forget, one of Joe Biden's big platforms is climate change. You know, that's what he wants. And, you know, to save the planet. And billions of dollars, Ray, have already been spent in this country under the umbrella of climate change.
Okay, I'm just looking at this, guys.
Yeah.
The Line. Okay.
Would you like to live there?
This is terrifying. This is a how do you even describe this, Steve? It's a building that's mirrored on both sides. And did you say it goes for 110 miles?
110 miles.
Oh, and this is how they advertise it. Unparalleled access to nature, clean air for everyone, more time to spend with your loved ones, a perfect climate all year round. Now, that's Orwellian also. Yeah. And so they are building this, you're saying?
They are.
Build this?
They are.
Talk about seduction.
Yeah, click on images. You can see pictures of what it looks like inside. It doesn't look too totally terrible, but. Again.
Yeah, and it goes from isn't this beautiful to we want you to live there to you are going to live there.
Right.
You know, they always do things incrementally. Right. That's what
you
happens.
Will live there.
Yes, exactly.
You will live there and you will be happy. Right?
Yes, so that's why we have to be vigilant about this. Listen, these characters don't want what's good for you. They want what's good for them. And what's good for them, in their definition, is more control over the population. All right. Have we scared everybody enough?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to scare you further.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
So you are you familiar with what ransomware is, Fred?
Ransomware.
Ransomware.
It's bad stuff.
It's bad stuff. It's hackers stuff. That will hack into your computer system, lock you out, and then it will charge you a ransom to get back in. You got to pay them, depending on the size of the company, millions, thousands, whatever.
Yeah, we had a couple of incidents of these in recent years.
Yeah. So, there's a hacking group. They call themselves Alpha V. and they decided to take on MeridianLink, which is a financial company. So they hacked into MeridianLink, locked them out, and MeridianLink said that not a whole lot had been dislodged. It didn't disrupt too much stuff, so they just kind of took care of it on the side. Well, you know what? The law says, the Securities and Exchange Commission says, you have to report these things,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't. So Alpha V, the hackers, turned them into the SEC.
No.
The hackers turned them in. We hacked this company. They didn't report it. We're telling you that we hacked them. And then they issued a press release which says, MeridianLink has not fulfilled its obligation regarding the breach it experienced a week ago. We have therefore reported this noncompliance by MeridianLink.
Ray, it sounds like the hackers are proud of their work, and they want the world to know.
They're pretty organized, too. They got a press person.
And they're turning in the hackers are turning in the people they hacked into to the SEC.
To the police, basically.
To the police, basically, for noncompliance.
Yes, right. You didn't report this.
You know, technology, guys, is great. And this idea of the AI development is worrisome.
Yeah.
Because it is about control, and I know we've talked about this, and there are people who know a whole lot more about it than certainly I do. But from what I have read, I just am suspicious, Steve, about the motivations behind all of this.
Well, AI has equal parts promise and peril.
Mm.
I talked to a very interesting guy a while back who has a service that if you're a pastor, Ray, I think we talked about this back in the day when we first came across this, but if you're a pastor, you can take your sermon and you can use their AI product, and it will automatically turn it into social media ready devotionals, emails, different things from your sermon. You don't have to write. You don't have to do your own social media campaign. It'll do it for you. It'll put a daily devotional out to your people. It'll put your video up on YouTube. It'll do all this kind of stuff.
It'll create little snippets for reels.
It'll summarize it.
Tweets on X. Right.
Right. Which is it sounds really fantastic. But then you've heard also. I've been hearing AI horror stories about using AI in medicine to actually, I did a story not too long ago, the AI is going to now help decide who gets what organ donation.
Yeah.
They're no longer going to be doing that by human. They're just going to put it in the computer, and whatever it spits out, it spits out. And, of course, they control the algorithm, so unfavored people might be a little slower to get the organ transplant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the scary part of this. And like I say, Ray, in my mind, this is all about control.
Well, there's much more of this to come, right? I think we're just on the leading edge of what artificial intelligence is going to do. We've talked before about how they can take your image, Steve, take yours, take mine, Fred, take any of ours, and they can create videos where we appear to say something we didn't say at all. Now, 6-8 months ago, it was pretty easy to spot a fake, right?
Yeah.
You can still spot it now, but not as easily.
Oh, it's getting better.
Yeah, they're getting better and smarter. 6 months, 8 months down the road, they could put words in your mouth or my mouth that we would never say, that it would take a supercomputer to figure out that this was a, quote, deep fake. Much more of this to come, I think.
Yeah. You know, Ray, study Revelation. That portion of Revelation that talks about, and we're 3.5 years into the tribulation period, sure. And you have Antichrist, who, you know, you must bow down and worship the beast. And all over the world, people are expected to do that at a particular time. I'm sure that has puzzled people down through the years about how can that happen. But I think that kind of AI technology is going to be in place. And the detection of those who don't bow down and worship the beast, that'll be part of the whole system. And as I say, back not too many years ago, people didn't understand. How technically could you do that? I think that technology is coming into play.
when I was in seminary long years ago, 45, 50 years ago.
Back when you used a typewriter instead of a computer?
Yeah, that's right. Back in the days of Abraham Lincoln, right. You know? I mean, back during his administration, long time ago. As a matter of fact, they did use an IBM Selectric with those little balls.
I remember that.
You know, if you're under 50, you have no idea what I'm talking about. So much fun. But we would study Revelation 13. Certain parts of it made sense. I mean, they could get the mark of the beast, or at least think about it. But then, you know, the false prophet is the second beast in Revelation 13. He's going to make an image of the first beast, the Antichrist. He's going to force people to bow down and worship it, and he's going to, quote, give the breath, some kind of spirit or life to it. It's going to apparently come to life, and anybody who does not bow down and worship be put to death. We didn't, even 5 or 10 years ago, Fred, couldn't imagine how that could happen. But now we see images projected. They look very lifelike. I have no doubt AI is the answer to how Revelation 13 is going to be fulfilled during the tribulation period. We're closer now, guys, than we've ever been.
All right, Steve?
Yeah.
Have we scared you enough yet, folks?
Hey, listen. No, it's, scare. But people need to be aware of this.
Yes.
Don't just say, well, AI, I'm not interested, and just let it go by. I think that's where the responsibility is for Christians to relate Scripture to what is happening out there. The Scripture is not divorced from the reality that we're living in right now, and we have to be mindful of that.
Well, it ought to, if you're a biblical Christian, I mean somebody who reads the Bible, and I have been saying this a lot lately, Christians ought to be the calmest people on earth.
Mm.
We ought to be the calmest people on earth because we know the Lord, and He holds the future in His hands. Do we see things that are concerning? Yes, we do. Do we see things that are alarming in the move toward control, totalitarianism? Yes, we do. But so much of this was predicted and described thousands of years ago in the Word of God. So Jesus Himself said, "You shall see these things, but see to it that you are not afraid." No fear, friends. Our God knows exactly what He is doing.
Yep.
Yes, and what does God's Word, Ray, tell us that needs to be done in order to put us in that right relationship with the Lord?
The great good news is anybody, anywhere, anytime, you can turn from your sin, you can come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trust in Him, He will save you. So anybody, anywhere, you're listening, it's Monday. Who knows what kind of weekend you had, and you're thinking to yourself, could I be forgiven? Yes, you can be. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. So if you will come to Jesus and believe in Him and trust in Him, your sins can be washed away. You can have eternal life beginning now, continuing forever. And no matter what happens to planet Earth, you can know that your future is secure because you have trusted in the Lord.
Amen and amen.
All right. Hey,
Steve?
Good news out of California. We got a judge in California that has suspended community colleges in California were under some DEI rules.
DEI?
DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the woke system. And a judge in California in Bakersfield, in response to a lawsuit filed against Bakersfield College and Kern Community College District, it's a single college there. Damon Johnson he's a history professor, he's a conservative. He brought the lawsuit against the schools and their DEI policy. A magistrate judge for the U.S. District Court of the Eastern District of California concluded that the system leaders' aim of promoting diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in California's community colleges is undoubtedly important, but it has shown a likelihood of success. A likelihood of success in the merits that the regulatory scheme the defendants have put in place advanced these interests contrary to the First Amendment guarantee. They're telling him what he can and can't say, and that's unconstitutional. So a judge has suspended all the DEI requirements in junior colleges in California, which is, that's a lot. I went to one.
Ray, the biggest shock of that is happening in California. There's a judge in California that with common sense.
Who actually wants to follow the Constitution. So.
This is the Ninth Circuit. This is a federal judge.
Yeah.
And President Trump really kind of did a deal on the Ninth Circuit.
Yes.
He put some good judges in there.
Yes.
That might be part of it.
Well, this whole DEI scheme, and it runs through corporate America. It runs through our university campuses. And, you know, Basically, it's not about promoting the person with the most talent who has worked hard and all of those sorts of things, but it classifies people according to other factors. And we're just seeing that more and more. But hopefully, this is a hopeful sign.
Yeah.
All right, we only got a few minutes left there. What you got?
Hey, what is the top baby names of 2023? I know this. Three of us guys discussing this is probably a little
like,
odd.
Like we would know, right?
Well, what do you think the top baby name in 2023?
Boy or girl?
Give me one of each.
Oh, man. Sadie.
Sadie for girls. Okay.
Okay. No.
Not even close.
I'm looking for Sadie on the list. Not seeing it.
How about Taylor?
Taylor for boy or girl.
No, I'm thinking of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. Well,
I'm here in Kansas City.
Let me give you the lowdown here. There, none of our names. I couldn't find a Fred or a Steve or a Ray or a Brent
or a Tim or a Tim or Ed.
No Tim or no Ed either that I found in the top 100.
Okay,
but here are the top 10 names for boys: Noah, Liam, Oliver, Elijah, Mateo, Lucas, Levi, Leo, Ezra, and Luca. There's a lot of biblical names.
Well, yeah, several.
Yeah, that's isn't that interesting?
Noah was one. Elijah was one.
Noah's number one.
Levi, yeah. Ezra.
Four out of the top 10 are biblical names.
And good. Mateo is Matthew in
is
some
Matthew,
languages.
Right. So, right. 5 out of 10. Yeah. Good.
All
right.
I don't know if Lucas is Luke, but that would be.
That'd be.
Is there something theological in this that people are reverting to these biblical names, Ray?
It's a good sign. I like Noah being number one.
Yeah. For girls, Olivia, Emma, Amelia, Sophia, Charlotte, Ava, Isabel, Mia, Luna, and Evelyn. Evelyn's coming back. My grandmother's name.
Okay, what's
Evelyn.
Going on with the girls? There's no biblical names there.
Wait, was there? Did you say Luna?
Luna.
Luna. Okay.
Yeah.
Olivia. Nice. Yeah. That's a classic name.
Yeah.
It is.
What biblical girl's name would you want them to have? I guess Mary.
Esther. Yeah. Elizabeth.
Ruth.
Those are all good names.
Deborah.
So the guys went biblical.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Well, that's kind of it.
James was number 12. That's another biblical one.
Which one?
James, number 12.
Okay, good.
Benjamin, number 19.
Wow.
Michael, 23. Daniel, 24.
Old Testament name.
Gabriel, 26. Josiah, 27. Yeah. Luke. There's a David. There's a Samuel. There's an Ezekiel in the 45.
Okay, on the girl's side.
No.
How far do you have to go down on the girl's side to find a bunch of
Mia, Luna, Evelyn, Gianna, Lily, Aria, Aurora, Ellie, Harper, Mila, Sophia, Camilla, Leia, Nova, Elena, Ella, Violet, Hazel, Willow,
Hazel,
Chloe,
Hazel.
Ivy, Scarlet, Penelope, Eleanor, Elena, Avery, Nora, Abigail.
Abigail.
35.
Good.
We had to go to 35 to get. You know, there was a time when the top 10 names were drawn from soap operas. Remember those days?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the soap opera names came out, and you weren't cool at all unless you were given your baby soap opera name. Well, I'm glad there's hope for America.
Got a Hannah at 72.
Okay,
Hannah,
that's good.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll keep an eye on this. Maybe Hannah will move up.
There you go. Sarah, 92.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right, guys. Great to be with you guys today. The news doesn't stop just because it's a holiday week for a lot of folks. And if you're on the road, please be careful. Ray, thanks so much. Steve.
Thank you, Fred.
Appreciate
my pleasure.
It. Lord willing, we'll be back in our chairs tomorrow to bring you the very latest. Meantime, stand by. More great programming here on American Family Radio. Mr. Brent, thank you so much for producing us, taking care of us. We'll all be back tomorrow, Lord willing. Bye-bye.